Okay, so we left off in the Gemara Mem Hei Amud Beis with three of the Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Eliezer. And the first thing we need to do is to understand the Machlokas, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Gemara, of whether Stam Shvarim Lav Becheska Shimer Kaimi, or do you say Stam Shvarim Becheska Shimer Kaimi? And Rashi is, not only Svaras Hafuchos, but Metzias Hafuchos. Hafuch. Because Rashi says, Lav Becheska Shimer Kaimi, Ein Odom Meshamer Shoro Klal. Elaminicha V'yotze. That's Lav Becheska Shimer Kaimi. Then skip a Rashi, one more Rashi, two Rashis later. Stam Shvarim Becheska Shimer Kaimi. Ein Lecha Adam Sheina Meshamer Shoro Shmira Pechusa. There's no person who doesn't watch his animal, at least the Shmira Pechusa. So that is right there. That needs to be understood. How can they have a Machlokas of that? It looks like they're looking at two different worlds. Two completely different worlds. It's like, Superman and Bizarro, Bizarro Superman. So, you have to say, of course, that both Rashis are true. That's what you have to say. Now, what does it mean, both Rashis are true? So it means like this. It means that in reality, there are conflicting behaviors because the person himself is conflicted in his watching of his animals. Meaning what? It means like this. That Ein Lecha Adam She'ena Meshamer Shoro Shmira Pechusa means that that's correct. There's no guy who owns Shvarim who just lets them roam around. Any guy who buys a shor has some kind of a deer or some kind of a pen or something that he locks his shor up in. Nobody buys a shor and lets it roam around. There's no such person like that. It's ridiculous. But that doesn't mean that if he has to run inside his house for a minute to answer the phone or to get himself a drink or something, that he locks the gate. He is willing to let his shor unguarded completely. Meinicha v'yotze. He leaves it and he leaves. Just like people today. A guy might be fairly vigilant. He locks his bicycle all the time. It doesn't mean that when he has to run into the store quickly or run into his house quickly, he doesn't leave his bicycle against the garage unlocked. They're both true. They are both true. They're both behaviors of the human being. The question is, how does halacha define, how does it view ultimately the practice of the Adam? That's the question. How do you ultimately, both these things are true, do you ultimately define the person as saying that he is a shomer shoro, stam shvar b'cheska shimor kaimi? Or do you say no? That since he is willing to leave it at times, now you say stam shvarim lav b'cheska shimer kaimi. It's a question of what. How do you ultimately define halachically the attitude of the gavra towards his mamon, towards his shvarim? That's the machlokas. the Metzias they all agree about.
Like if
exactly. There are times Ein Adam Meshamer Shara Klal Ela Meinicha VeYotze. That's absolutely true. People do that on a normal basis. And that same very guy, he will tell you, Chas v'shalom, of course I watch my shore, I lock it up in the pen. What do you think? There's no person, that's what I'm saying. The two Rashis are describing two different things that are both true and reflect a conflicted attitude. Because if the guy was really super vigilant, he would never do the other thing. And if the guy was completely hefker, he wouldn't have a deer normally. But the average person has this, so to speak, conflicted attitude. But the question is how to define that, ultimately. And that's the review that Reb Meir are arguing about. They're not arguing about the facts. When you say general sense, general meaning in terms of the quantity of time, you're right. But it's not a question of quantity, it's a question of quality. That's why they have this argument. How do you look at the ad? You're looking at what is, who, no, let me put it this way. When you open up Parshas Mishpatim, who is the average guy that owns Shvarim that the Torah is speaking to? How do you define that personality? How do you define his psychology? Who are you talking to? Are you talking to a guy who's, where you would say his animals are Becheskes Shimar Kaimi, or Lav Becheskes Shimar Kaimi? Who is the guy you're talking to? And that's why they have an argument. You can see it. You can define it in two ways. You could say generally, and that's the exception. Or you could say, once you have that exception, that throws the guy into another realm as not being a vigilant guy. The ultimate definition is, what is the, how does halacha ultimately define the attitude of the gavra? Does he have a vigilant attitude or not? Is he a shmira producer or not? What is he? That's the question. I think we should first define now let's define the machlokas, the three-way machlokas, insofar as the results. This machlokas is defining how halacha views the gavra. And now Parshas Mishpatim steps in. And depending on what your premise is, and there's if the gavra is a shomer, so then you're going to follow, that's going to be Rabbi Yehuda. And then the Torah is going to go right to Shmira Ma'ula. You're going to have Ma'ula, Ma'ula, then Ribuy Acha Ribuy, Ein Boel Lamayet. And you're going to end up, Sof Kol Sof, with Ma'ula by Tam, Shmira Pachusa by Muad. But if you start off with the premise that Stam Shvarim Lav Becheska Shimor, Remeyer, so then you're going to go to Pachusa, then Ma'ula, and then the Gzera Shava, which is going to make it Ma'ula Ma'ula, for both Tam and Muad. And then you have Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that a Shor Muad can't have any Shmira. I mean, put it this way, there's no Patur, of course you have to do Shmira, but there's no Patur. There is no Patur. So it would be nice to try to define what is the logic, of those shitos. Because now they exist, it's after you get done with the drushes. But now they have to make sense as a system. So, you got to define, what is Reb Meir, in a halachic sense, what is he saying when he says Ma'ula, Ma'ula? What is he saying? I mean, that the The hard one, of course, counterintuitive, or maybe some would even say, you know, seem illogical, is to have, is Rabbi Yehuda, is Tam, is Me'ula, and Mu'ad is Pechusa. I mean, you'd like to understand that. You'd like to characterize those Shitas. So you should understand what they're saying. Okay?
What is Rabbi Eliezer hold by Tom?
It seems everyone, until you get to the Gemara later, by Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it seems everybody holds that Tom is Me'ula. It's only in the Braisa that you find out that the Mandamra holds that Tom is Bechusa. That's the Rashi in the Mishnah. The Shlosh Machlokas Bedavar. And you see Rashi's only talking about Mu'ad. So Rashi implies that there's no Machlokas by Tom. See, again, now when you're faced with a Machlokas like this, you've got to think in terms of reality now. This is not some purely abstract halachic formulation. You need to be very much in touch with the facts on the ground. Which is what I told you last week when it comes to many, many ideas in the Bubbas. Okay, so what they're arguing, the halacha, once again, see, it's based on the facts on the ground. And what we're going, we'll start off with a basic premise about the world of Shmira and animals. And that is that the basic Shmira is really provided by the mere existence of a fence or an obstacle or a boundary. That's really, in the psychology of the animal, what basically keeps it contained. And you're obligated to erect a fence, or whatever, a deles, or whatever, you know, language you want to use, walls, deer. That's Yechol Olamod Beruach Metsuya. Meaning that this thing, on a normal average day, will be there, will not come down, and therefore will provide an obstacle for the behemoth. Ah. But Remeir says that's not enough. Because if the average animal decides to take on that wall, the average shore, good chance is he will knock it down if he wants to take it on. And therefore, Rabbi Meir's of the opinion that you have to go beyond the mere obstacle and boundary and create a fencing, a shmira, that would prevent, that will function to prevent the animal from escaping if it tries to. Okay? And that's a shmira ma'ula. That's a shmira ma'ula. It's really Ma'ula, and I'm not sure about this, I'll be honest with you, but it seems to me it's Ma'ula in two senses. In other words, one is that it functions as a boundary even in bad weather conditions, Ruach Shena Metsuya. It will still function as an obstacle. But more than that, as I just said, that even if, let's say, the average shore Tom would bump against the wall, he would not be able to topple it. And therefore, he'll walk away. Saunter away. Whatever animals do. Okay? I'll come back to Rebbe in a minute. What does Rebbe Yehuda hold? So Rebbe Yehuda says like this. He says there's a big difference in the nature of a shor tam and a shor muad. And the difference is is that basically a shor muad, which is now a wild animal, it has a certain nature, an aggressive nature. The truth of the matter is, if it wants to take down a wall, basically no wall will hold it. When I say no wall, of course, I don't mean some crazy high-tech wall. I mean the walls that are within the realm of halacha, meaning either a shmira ma'ula or a shmira pachusa, a ruach shena mitzuya wall or a ruach mitzuya wall. Either of those walls, if the muad really wants to, if he decides, like the Gemara has later in Hakones, chatra. Chatra means it starts to go against the wall. It's up against, it's going against the wall. It's annoyed, this animal. And it's going up against the wall, a muad is going to take it down. So Rabbi Yehuda holds like this. Rabbi Yehuda holds, when it comes to a shor muad, the Torah only required a shmira pachusa. Because the only shmira that you are provided is the quality of the wall itself, of having a wall, a boundary. And that basically, the average animal doesn't tangle with it. He just stays and eats its grass and stays away from it. But there's no purpose, he holds, because in general, functionally, a ma'ula has no advantage over a pachusa vis-a-vis a shor muad. So therefore, the Torah didn't demand such a thing. But by a shor tam has a different nature. And if it bumps up against the wall, it's not as aggressive. And in fact, the shmira ma'ula wall will prevent the shor tam even if it goes against the wall, because it doesn't have an aggressive nature. So it's going to push against the wall a couple of times, it's not going to budge it, and it's going to, again, walk away. You see? But a muad, that wouldn't be true. So Rabbi Yehuda says, since the shmira ma'ula in fact functions to prevent the shor tam from going free in normal practicality, so therefore the Torah is mechayev you in that wall, in a shmira ma'ula, because it actually affords a real shmira in normal circumstances against the tam. But against the muad, it doesn't function to provide shmira. So therefore the Torah only said, you need the quality of wall, shmira pachusa. That's all you need. You need shmira pachusa. Rabbi Meir, however, holds, of course, the same thing with tam. But what he holds is that by muad, since it's true that ultimately, if the shor, this aggressive shor, goes against the shmira ma'ula, it's true it will many times knock it down. But he holds, nevertheless, since functionally it will at times provide something, that's enough for the Torah to be mechayev you. And there's even if it does shmira b'muat, okay, b'miat, even if the shmira b'miat circumstances, even though it's only in some circumstances, that's already enough for the Torah to be mechayev you in a shmira ma'ula by a muat. Even though it's true, if the animal is ultimately aggressive on that day, it will take it down. But there'll be times when it pushes against the wall, you'll see the wall doesn't move, they'll walk away. So he holds, since there are those circumstances, that's enough to be mechayev. Rabbi Yehuda says no. He goes by the nature of the animal. The nature of the animal is, in general, it'll be able to knock down a wall that's ma'ula. You'll tell me a couple of times they'll bang against it, walk away. That the Torah wasn't mechayev you for. It didn't demand the more expensive permanent wall, or not permanent, but more expensive rigid wall for the few times that it might be affected. You got to go by the nature of the animal. And the nature of a muad is that it'll knock down that wall. So the only wall you require of a muad, according to Rebbe, as I said, is the quality wall. But not insofar as function, how well it could stop, against an attack against the wall itself. Whereas Rameyer says, no. So they all agree by Tom that it fully functions. So that's why they all agree at Shmirat Mula. That's why they don't argue in the Mishnah, those three mandamer. But the machlokis is, are you choshesh for the miyat circumstance where the Shmirat Mula will be effective against the Muad? Rabbi Yehuda says yes. No. And Rabbi Meir says yes. That's the basic approach I wanted to bring to the floor here. Yes, the Shmirat Pechusa is doing the psychological wall, the quality wall. There's the average behemoth doesn't attack the wall. He sees this obstacle and he lives within it. That's what animals do.
For the Muad, is it ever doing anything?
It's always doing something. It's a wall. The average Muad just walks around, eats his grass, does his thing, and he leaves the wall alone. He closes them in, and that's enough to keep the animal at bay and docile. Matter of fact, the Braisa, which is, 5-6 lines down the Gemara, Tanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Echatam ve'echa Muad, Shamru Shmir Pechusa Bater, my time is Savala Krab Yehuda, the Omer Muad b'Shmir Pechusa Sagile, the Yolaf Negicha Latam ve'Negicha Lamuad. So he learns like Rabbi Yehuda that you start off with that Muad is Shmir Pechusa, and then he makes a Gzeira Shava. Right? The Torah says, V'lo Yishmerenu, but this is Yishmerenu, and that's Shmir Pechusa. And then he makes a Gzeira Shava to Shor Tam. Because his argument makes sense too. His argument is that all the Torah was Mechayev you was in the quality of wall. That's the Shmir it demanded. He doesn't even require, even though the wall would really effectively function, a Shmir Ma'ula would effectively function against the Tam. He says that's true, but the Torah wasn't Mechayev you in that. The Torah is Mechayev you in the primary Shmira, which is simply having a wall. That's what basically keeps animals. Animals, essentially, their psychology, they don't attack walls. They see a wall and that's it. They're penned in. That's it. That's the normal thing. So he actually holds, you never even go by the functional aspect of wall. You totally always operate with the quality psychological aspect of the wall on the animal. And that's why he holds both Tom and Muad both get a Shmirat Pechusa. In other words, the premises before are simply, who is the Parshas Mishpatim addressing? Who is this Jew who owns Shvarim that's reading Parshas Mishpatim? Who's the Talmud that HaKadosh Baruch is talking to? That's the question. That's it. That's a different question. Now the question is, what was the halacha mechayev you? And it's hard to define any further. Except Reb Meir still holds that you can't deny that, first of all, a wall that's Eina Mitsuya will have a function vis-a-vis the Muad, in the sense that, again, I want to put it in both contexts, which is, he's worried about this miyat, meaning, A, the wall will be there in front of the muad, even if there's a big wind, so it'll function in that sense insofar as the muad, but again, that's a miyat. And secondly, it will also function that there will be a case, you can't deny this practically, that it could be some muad will give a bang up against the wall, bang it again, and it won't budge. And the animal, for whatever reasons, I'm not an animal psychologist, but the animal will walk away. It didn't move. Now, the animal didn't realize that it could knock it down, because that's the way animals are. But, of course, another animal, for whatever its reasons are, goes and rams and rams and rams, it will eventually knock it down. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda says you don't require it, because that's the nature of the animal. You're not choshesh for the miyat circumstances to demand that kind of shmira. You go by the norm. The norm circumstances and norm of the animal. And therefore, a pechusa is sufficient. Because that's really what essentially and primarily keeps a muad at bay. It's just simply having a wall. The existence of wall itself is what does it. Yeah, last week, according to Rashi, it's two different sugyas. They just happen to use the same words. There's nothing to do with each other. This week it has to do with the attitude of the gavra regarding shmira of his animals. On Tesvav, when it says Becheska Shimor Alav Becheska Shimor Kaimi, even if the exact same words, Stam Shvarim, etc., there it's talking about the nature of the behema. The nature of the behema. It's two different things, according to Rashi. The same words have no, correlation. Completely different thing. They might have used different words, but they didn't. Very confusing, but they didn't. But it means two totally. Rashi, there's no problems. What you said over there has no bearing on over here. It's simply two different worlds, two different sugyas. Of course, for Rabbeinu Tam, not so simple, and that's why Tosfos gets caught in a problem at the end, as you'll see. All right, I will put up last week's shiur and this week's shiur. I'll put it on the Dropbox, and I'll text Sammy to upload it to the website. All righty, guys.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
And may Hashem bless you, Bakal.
Thank you.
Take care. You want to upload the last two shiurim?
Okay. Let me,